I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. And we are doing our special back-to-school series, Your Inoculation to Indoctrination. We are chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com. We are always liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. I hope that you have been enjoying our back-to-school Inoculation to Indoctrination series. Remember, if you have not heard parts 1, 2, and 3, you can go to chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com. You can go to tunein.com. You can go to iTunes. You can go to Google Music Play. You can go to Spotify and FM.com to catch this series that you must prepare the students in your family so that they can go back to school. You're buying pencils, you're buying papers, you're buying rulers, you're buying backpacks. Why don't you get a little inoculation to indoctrination for free? The best resource that you can send your child back to school with. I have with me my husband and co-host JC Hall. And we are, you know, we have been getting such great feedback for this series. I haven't been sharing it with you. I've been keeping it all to myself, but it's just been amazing on social media. People don't realize you're not on social media.
I have an Instagram account. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't get to share in the encouragement that I see on social media unless I point it out to you.
I got off Facebook and Twitter because just there's so much arguing and insulting each other and all that. I don't care for it. I mean, it can be, it's a good useful tool if you use it well, but I like Instagram. You don't have so much of that,
right? And then people can't co-opt your pictures and take them other places. So
I don't mind that. I don't do selfies, so
you don't,
unless
yeah,
you make me.
I think we talked about that on a show recently, your aversion to the selfie culture.
Yeah, if you see me in a selfie, it's you're always in it.
Yep, that's right.
And you made me do it.
That's right. And it's just because it's...
My selfies are of my feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so me sitting, and then I'm taking a picture of what's in front of me, and you'll see my feet.
Uh-huh.
That's my selfie.
Or you accidentally take a picture. That's sort of funny,
too. Well, then I delete those.
Yeah, right. But, you know, it's not... For me, it's not a culture. It's a convenience.
Sure.
Because we're always someplace really, really cool, and we always need to have pictures.
Yeah, yeah. I get
and
it.
And we got to do it.
I know.
You still hate it, though. So, interestingly enough, JC, our topic today comes from MSNBC.
Cool.
It does. This comes from Katie Chur, who is a journalist. I say that term very loosely these days.
As in, she is an employee of MSNBC?
And she has her own television show.
Okay.
Okay. And she's on MSNBC, like you said, and she's doing an interview of two people who are your typical mainstream media expert.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
So we use that term expert loosely as well. And it's interesting because I don't know if you'll notice this. But I don't know how many people will notice this because this is our job. We're very particular about the way mm-hmm. people speak. You'll notice that she has her own television show on MSNBC. She's called a journalist, but she's a particularly inarticulate person.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. And maybe not as inarticulate as some, but for me to have your own television show on a mainstream corporate media and to stumble around with words and questions just seems a little bit strange. You know, you're MSNBC when you have the pick. Don't they have agents and job interviews and stuff? So here's this clip from Katie Turr on MSNBC.
Based on where Americans stand on the issues, and Americans have really moved in a much more progressive direction over the years, do you think it's appropriate to continue to take such a strict originalist view of the Constitution, given it's 2018 and not 1776?
So that's our topic today on the inoculation to indoctrination.
And so I assume her question was just a setup so she could give the answer to her own question.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to, if we have time, I really want to get into her questions a little bit or her setup because I have those clips as well because I think that they help us understand where the error in her thinking actually comes from.
Well, the general narrative of the left media, as I listen to it, is basically we need to follow majority opinion. Opinions have changed. It's not 1776.
Right.
And we need to follow majority opinion.
Right, but that's the exact opposite of how our Constitution was created because following majority opinion is a democracy. And our founders knew that democracies were despotism. As a matter of fact, Thomas Jefferson said, the despotism of one is no different than the despotism of 174. And James Madison said that democracies always go up in flames of tyranny because the mob will rule over the minority.
Well, it's funny. I think back to the last show we did. I wonder if she would be surprised to know she holds the opposite opinion of Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, and I want to get into Frederick Douglass's. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but I think we need to, since this is our teach show and not a talk show, we need to establish the answer to her question.
Right.
Why aren't we dealing with a more progressive opinion about how our Constitution is to be established or how our government is to be established? And why are we stuck in 1776? And it's kind of like the irony here is it's not 1776 anyway, right? It's 1789. And there's a lot of changes, a lot of debate that goes into this. And what people who think like she does, I think of that quote by Hannah Winthrop, blinded by their own interests, maddening on to their own destruction.
Well, the core thing they don't understand, because they talk about, well, you know, opinions are more progressive. The principles of the Supreme Court, of the Constitution have not changed.
Right.
They have not changed. That's what they don't know. So they have a caricature view of what the Constitution is, what it says, what it means. And they think, well, we've moved past those principles. Well, maybe they have in the sense of they're anti-liberty. If that's what progressive means, anti-liberty, then yes.
No, but I don't think so, because I think it really is just ignorance. It's like I said, it's not about principles.
Right.
It's about opinions. And I want to play this next clip.
The opinion that the Constitution and those who wrote it hated black people, hated women. And so we've moved beyond that now, so we should change it.
Well, not only that, it's not even really about, I think this living, breathing document thing is not really even about essential principles. It's about what do we want our government to do today? Mm-hmm. And because we have become such an expansive federal-centric people, we don't understand that our federal government does things today they're not supposed to do. Let me play this next clip for you really quick from Katie Turr of MSNBC, because I think this will give us a little bit of direction on how to answer her question.
Well, the arc of history has shown that opinions have become more progressive, and even just lately on the issues that are potentially going to come before the court or issues that have been ruled on relatively recently by the court. Americans are more progressive. Look at the polling. Most Americans support Roe v. Wade. On gun control, they are split on whether states should be able to restrict firearm ownership. But when it comes to money and politics, the majority wants the next justice to support limits on campaign spending by corporations and unions. That goes against the Citizens United position.
So other than the gun thing, which was viewed in a state perspective, not in a federal government perspective, the question was not, should the federal government be creating gun legislation? The question was, should the states be allowed to be to federal legislation? These are not constitutional issues. And so this living, breathing document theory is about morphing the Constitution to become a document that covers opinions rather than principles.
Right.
And that's where they go wrong, right? Because it is true that opinions change, but principles do not. And the reason that we are a constitutional republic and not a democracy is so that the limit of our government will not be based on opinions, but driven by axiomatic truths that have proven themselves for over a millennia.
Remember, the campaign funding part, too, is also, that's a Democrat strategy. So they're not opposed to big money in politics, right? Their position is the anti-corporate corporation position, the big businesses giving money, because they have a strategy that doesn't hurt them. It hurts the Republicans because they think, which this has now been undermined,
right?
They have the unions, right?
Which is why she said unions and corporations.
And then they force, they have a system where that they're able to put big money in, and then this thing doesn't hurt them. So it's really sort of a targeted thing against Republicans. They're not actually honest about that position of no, you know, we don't want any big corporate donors in politics.
I find it curious that the polling that they took was, should states be allowed to create gun control regulations?
Yeah, it's funny. They probably made the question about the federal government, and then it was really bad, so they had to switch to a state statistic.
Right, because I think even from a constitutionalist perspective, there is a disagreement on whether the states should be allowed, right? Even constitutionalists believe, well, the states, but it's definitely not a federal government issue. So when we get back from the break, I'm going to give you this understanding of why this is not a living, breathing constitution, why originalism is the only way that we can maintain liberty. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host JC Hall doing our special back to school series, The Inoculation to Indoctrination. It is inevitable. Do you agree? It is inevitable that your student will hear that the Constitution is a living, breathing document. They'll hear that it's outdated. They'll tell you that we have become more progressive. They used to say we've become more intelligent, you know, but we're simply not. We know that. We are, and as you mentioned in the last segment, that the Constitution, after all, is a document of slavery and oppression, and we are a melting pot of people, and we have this. But I want us to understand, based on principle, what it means to be a living, breathing document, what it means to be a constitutional republic. A living, breathing document creates an arbitrary government. And our Constitution was written to maintain that the government would not be arbitrary. Our standards that are established in the Constitution were not invented by the men who wrote the Constitution. These are axiomatic truths that have proven themselves for over a millennia. Many of these truths are found in five historic Liberty Charters. The Liberty Charters are what gave birth to America's founding documents. And this is a course that we teach at Liberty First University. So if your students are not getting the history of the Constitution from Liberty First University, they're not getting the truth about the Constitution. They can't understand the foundation of why we are not a living, breathing document, that these are not inventions, but inheritances from history. And so that's libertyfirstuniversity.com, the history of the Constitution. We gotta have this. Those who claim that the American Constitution is vague or arbitrary or irrelevant, they do so because they're uneducated about where our Constitution comes from, why it was formed. Now, the Constitution and the government was designed to protect liberty. That purpose is declared in the Declaration of Independence, repeated in the preamble. The Bill of Rights are all statements of liberty. And it's history that proves the Constitution is not an arbitrary, living, breathing document, but a document designed from blood-bought lessons in the historic struggle between liberty and tyranny. Now, originalism, what Katie Turr does not like, originalism or original intent means looking at the history that gave us our founding principles and realizing why they are important. It means understanding the Constitution in its historical context. Now, this is the only way to ensure that the government operates to preserve the essential principles of liberty. To ignore the origin of our constitutional principles is to invite the same threats that prompted the necessity of their protection. To throw off the lessons of history, this living, breathing, modern perspective, actually invites despotism, inequality, apathy, corruption, slavery, and oppression. Originalism is the shield against slavery, masters, and oppressions. Originalism not only understands the essential principles of liberty, but embraces it with the knowledge that liberty was the stated goal of the designers of our Constitution. Originalism is not only the correct legal way, by contract law, to apply the Constitution, but it is the only way that guarantees and secures liberty. Now, originalism declares, we don't care what the mob says. We don't care what the powerful say. We don't care what the trending opinion may be. We will ensure that all are treated equally and with dignity. We are not ruled by mob mentality, but by the principles of liberty because we know our history. Now, a living, breathing constitution is arbitrary. It creates a government that is dependent upon current social trends and the will of the powerful. It's just another name for a banana republic. A living, breathing constitution allows those in government to say, well, there are no cell phones in 1789, so we have the right to arbitrarily control your communications. The living, breathing thing that Katie Turr is demanding allows those in governments to say, since there was no internet in 1789, we can define who is a journalist and what can be said. This living, breathing demand gives power to the oppressor through interpretation by the powerful, the majority, or the deceptive who distort history. We are a constitutional republic to prevent those oppressions. And those like Katie Kerr, who are driven by ignorance, do not understand that she is actually demanding her own slavery.
As there again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution, standing together and without. Truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our ammunition.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
I'm a long, long way from my home, and I'm going to change all the things I find strange.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host JC Hall doing our special back-to-school presentation on the inoculation to indoctrination. Now, if you want a written understanding of this difference between originalism and the living breathing, you can go to chrisannhall.com and get an article called The Key to Understanding the Constitution. If you want your students to be completely prepared with a in-depth understanding, Liberty First University provides that course in the history of the Constitution. Now, what's ironic is that even those who in our modern day society would believe would be in favor of a living, breathing document were actually opposed to it and promoted originalism, like
Frederick Douglass.
Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, we did the last class, and we talked about John Jay and all that. I mean, it's the fact that people are ignorant of this. In fact, there's a meme I've seen of late taking one of Frederick Douglass' speeches out of context, seizing a single paragraph out of the speech.
Let's pause for just a second.
The founding documents.
Tell the people who Frederick Douglass is, because maybe some people don't know who Frederick Douglass is.
Maybe. That would be shocking, but definitely in this age, possibly. But Frederick Douglass was a former slave, a black slave, and was one of the most famous abolitionists in American history.
During the Lincoln administration.
He was born in 1818 and died in 1895. And prior to Lincoln and during the time preceding the Civil War, all during that time was some of his, I guess, most active time.
So he didn't actually believe the Constitution was a slave document.
He started out that way.
Okay, yeah. Good. We have a walk-away story.
Yeah, so he, after gaining his freedom, he joined up with William Garrison, who had a newspaper, an abolitionist newspaper. And he basically, Garrison became Frederick Douglass's mentor, and Garrison was sort of leader of the group that said the Constitution supported slavery, the Constitution was a slavery document. So the nation was very divided at that time on that opinion. You had a large group of Americans who said the Constitution was a slavery document, and then a large group who said, no, it is not a slavery document. That's not its intent. And so Frederick Douglass started on the opinion that the Constitution was a pro-slavery document. But then as he famously traveled Europe and he started his own newspaper called the North Star, he evolved in his opinion as he
educated himself, right?
Well, one of the main sources of it was Lysander Spooner.
Yes.
Lysander Spooner wrote a document about the Constitution being an anti-slave document and had discussions, I guess, with Douglass and convinced him otherwise. And Douglass actually references him in this speech that people are using as a meme.
So there's a popular meme going around that's giving false information.
Right. Yeah, because of a single paragraph. It's called "What to the American Slave is Your 4th of July?"
Okay.
And
we hear that a lot now during Independence celebrations.
Yes.
Hear that a lot.
It goes around now every year.
Yeah.
And it actually conveys the exact opposite of what Douglass is saying. So he uses this speech. It's July 5th.
So give us what does the meme say?
I'll give you the paragraph.
Yeah, tell us.
And then we'll look. I can show you other parts of the speech where he puts it in the context and what he's trying to say.
I hate when people cherry pick and pull things out of context. So that really annoys me.
What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I can't do it like Frederick Douglass. He's one of the greatest orators in American history. So I answer, a day that reveals to him, more than all other days in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham. Your boasted liberty, an unholy license, your national greatness, swelling vanity. Your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless. Your denunciation of tyrants, brass-fronted impudence. Your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery. Your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity, are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy. A thin veil to cover up crimes which would disgrace a nation of savages. There is not a nation on earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of the United States at this very hour. And he says,
but this is not his point.
Go where you may, search where you will, roam through all the monarchies, despotisms of the old world, travel through South America, search out every abuse, and when you have found the last, lay your facts by the side of the everyday practices of this nation, and you will say with me that for revolting barbarity and shameless hypocrisy, America reigns without rival. And so that's what you'll see as
right.
the meme.
But that's not his point.
Well, his point is not America was founded on slavery.
Right.
His point is not that Constitution is a slavery document. So, but you see the meme used to
right.
assail the principles
right.
upon which America is founded. And they say this is what America is and what the founders intended to be.
Mm.
And Frederick Douglass recognized that.
Right.
His speech says the exact opposite. The point of his speech is America at this time, again, in its context, right before the Civil War,
right.
where slavery is rampant and is a huge national problem. It's a huge debate. And he's saying you're being hypocrites. He's saying America, his message is, live up to your founding documents.
Ah,
live up to the
so
principles.
The paragraph is not about who we are supposed to be. It's how we're acting.
It's that
and we
America,
need to be who we are supposed to be.
Right. America in slavery, which no one would disagree with
right.
in this day, well, right now, he's saying you're not living up to your founding principles.
James Madison would say that too. James Madison would say that. Thomas Jefferson would say that. John Jay would say that. They would all look to us at that time and say, you're not living up to the American potential.
So earlier in the speech, before the section I quoted, Douglass says this, fellow citizens, I am not wanting in respect for the fathers of this republic. The signers of the Declaration of Independence were brave men. They were great men too, great enough to give fame to a great age. It does not often happen to a nation to raise at one time such a number of truly great men. The point from which I am compelled to view them is not certainly the most favorable, and yet I cannot contemplate their great deeds with less admiration. They were statesmen, patriots, and heroes, and for the good they did and the principles they contend for, I will unite with you to honor their memory.
So we're supposed to be, according to Frederick Douglass, in opposition to the purpose of this meme, Frederick Douglass is saying we are to honor the memory and the act in what they created as well. That's what Independence Day is about, is honoring the memory of our independence and giving honor to what they did to create a better place. Am I right?
Yeah. He says they love their country better than their own private interest. He says he who will intelligently lay down his life for his country is a man who is not in human nature to despise. Your fathers staked their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor on the cause of their country. In their admiration of liberty, they lost sight of all other interests. They were peace men, but they preferred revolution to peaceful submission to bondage. They were quiet men, but they did not shrink from agitating against oppression. They showed forbearance, but that they knew its limits. They believed in order, but not in the order of tyranny. With them, nothing was settled that was not right. With them, justice, liberty, and humanity were final, not slavery and oppression.
I'm tearing up because I'm just imagining what this would sound like coming from Frederick Douglass. And I hold that opinion, so it touches me in my heart. And to know in the very same speech, they're taking his words and in warping the intent of his admiration for who we had the potential to be. You said he says we don't live up to that, right?
Right. And he's saying he actually, after what I quoted that they use in the meme of
yeah.
saying, you know, Frederick Douglass was against America and against its principles. He says, after he's, bragging on them, and then mm-hmm. he, you know, gives his scathing attack.
Yeah, you're not living. These men were amazing, and you are disparaging their memory and what they did.
So listen to this, because we hear this today that the people saying it was a slavery document. The Constitution mm-hmm. guaranteed slavery, and it promoted mm-hmm. slavery. So Douglass deals directly with
a former slave.
Right. This is Frederick Douglass. This is his argument. This is his answer, right?
We got to hear this.
All of the people saying, we stand with Frederick Douglass and making this argument. Listen to what he says to that very argument.
Gather the students around. You have to hear this.
He said, but it is answered in reply to all this, that precisely what I have now denounced is in fact guaranteed and sanctioned by the Constitution of the United States, that the right to hold and hunt slaves is a part of that Constitution framed by the illustrious fathers of this republic. Then I dare to affirm, notwithstanding all I've said before your father stooped, basely stooped. In other words, he's saying, if this is true, here's the fact. To palter with us in a double sense and keep the word of promise to the ear, but break it to the heart. And instead of being the honest men I have before declared them to be. They were the veriest imposters that ever practiced on mankind. This is the inevitable conclusion, and from it there is no escape. But I differ from those who would charge this baseness on the framers of the Constitution of the United States.
He differs from Katie Turr.
It is a slander upon their memory, at least so I believe. There is not time now to argue the constitutional question at length, nor have I the ability to discuss it as I sought it to be discussed. The subject has been handled with mastery and masterly power by Lysander, Spooner, William Goodwill. He names all these. These gentlemen have, as I think, fully and clearly vindicated the Constitution from any design to support slavery for an hour.
Yeah.
So that's Douglass' opinion. He quotes.
He said you can't even support slavery for an hour.
He quotes this modern argument that they're making in his name in the very speech they're quoting and says, I differ from that. That's nonsense.
That's not my opinion.
That
is ridiculous.
That was not the framers' intent. His point was the framers' intent was to end slavery.
Right.
And that, and he says that the Constitution and future generations would be wielded as a weapon against slavery. And we know it was. And so it's really sad. And this is why we have to know our history. By the way, I'm going to make my own meme. I will quote these other parts of what Frederick
Douglass
said.
We will
share
it.
But that's how it happens. People strip this stuff from its context. And I mean, I've heard that what he said at the end there with making the other argument quoted as his argument. He was speaking as if it was the other side speaking. But they quoted as this was his, what he said, what he meant.
I've seen them do that with the founder's words as well. We'll be right back for our last segment.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the last segment of the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, our special series on the inoculation to indoctrination. And I'll join with Frederick Douglass and say, we don't have the time today to give you all the arguments, but I will tell you that Katie Turr's argument cannot even survive an hour when you know the truth. And that's what Frederick Douglass was trying to explain to us. And I think that what's the title of this speech so that the people can have it for themselves?
I would go to the best place I found it. It's called EdSitement, EdSitement.neh.gov.
Oh, wow. It's even in the NEH.
Yeah. And it's / Launchpad Frederick Douglass What Slave 4th July.
Here's the thing. This is actually on a government website, which proves that there is no excuse for their ignorance.
The best of humanity is on the web, EdSitement. But you can just search. I searched Frederick Douglass' appeal to the Constitution.
Okay.
And this and that came up.
But Frederick Douglass appealed to the Constitution.
Yeah, so it has the entire speech in three parts.
People should also be looking into Lysander Spooner.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
And the other men that Frederick Douglass learned from,
right?
So we need to go to these things. But the bottom line is, as we do here on the Chris Ann Hall Show, as we do at chrisannhall.com, as we do in the six books that I've written, as we do at Liberty First University, go to the founders themselves. Remember, we have the course, Slavery and the American Founders, that will show you that Frederick Douglass has not been misled in his understanding of the intent of the founders.
Correct.
They were driving a future generation to put an end to slavery forever.
Frederick Douglass was one of the brightest minds we've ever had in America.
Yeah.
So I don't think he was misled.
No way. No way, but I can imagine that Katie Turr is not one of the brightest minds that we have in America, but she is in the business of misleading. Hey, look, if we ignore the history and the Constitution in its proper context, our Constitution ceases to be a fixed standard for the government, and we're left to be ruled by the powerful or by the whim of the majority, by those at the controls of information who would distort history and truth. That's what they're trying to do. Distort history and truth so that you believe that the Constitution is not something that it is, so that you can create this living, breathing government so that the people who have the most money, who have the most power, so that the deep state becomes your ruler.
Right.
And that is a tool of oppression. If we don't know the essential principles of liberty and where they came from, we cannot evaluate and ensure that the solutions that we're shooting for are proper and not tragic. Now, some call these unseen consequences, but when you can see through the lenses of history, you know that they're not unseen. They are proven facets of human nature. Our Constitution is not arbitrary, and neither are our solutions. They are time-tested and essential. The designers of our Constitution put these solutions in our hands, and the greatest gift they gave us was the opportunity to self-govern. It's time we remember who we are and the power that we hold. It's time that we stop being deceived by the Katie Turrs and the MSNBC and the CNNs and all of these institutions of indoctrination that are trying to teach us to be slaves, aren't they? I mean, they're really throwing us back into slavery. And there is no excuse. There is no excuse.
Nope. And I'm making my meme right now.
All right. So we will
find me on Instagram, JC Hall Global on Instagram.
Oh, and
you can see it.
And JC will be sharing that meme with me, and I will post it on Facebook. I will post it on Twitter. I'll post it on my Instagram as well. Look.
If you see that, what to the slave is the 4th of July? Encourage people to read the entire
speech. Because history is our teacher, and it proves that when the mob rules, we are all slaves. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.